Now, I know that here at Ruddington, you're working your way through Eugene Patterson or Peterson's study on the Psalms. And that, as you know, this Sunday we're looking at Psalm 137. His title for this, as you've heard, is Praying Our Hate. Eugene himself said that this could be the most difficult of the Psalms to look at. Which is no real surprise, is it, with that as a working title? And when we consider the issues that the psalm touches upon, it's a psalm that speaks of loss, heartache, devotion, anger, hate, and even the desire for revenge. It follows a series of psalms known as the Song of Ascents, which would have been sung by those attending the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Those psalms are ones that express the people's devotion and love for God, for the city that is Mount Zion, and a desire to be able to praise God in that holy place. And this psalm appears to have been deliberately placed where it is as, if you like, a closing expression of devotion to the city that sits at the centre of Israel's worship of the Lord. It's a plaintive song that recalls the period in Israel's history when the Jews were captured by King Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, Jerusalem had been laid waste. The temple destroyed, the people's homes burned. The majority of the Jewish people were taken captive. But Nebuchadnezzar left some of the poorest people behind to serve as farmers and vine dressers. For the rest of the people, they would spend the next 70 years exiled in Babylon. And the writer of this psalm is one of those who's returned from Babylon. Reflecting back on that time, they give voice to the bitter memories of those years spent in a foreign land and the cruel events that led to their enforced stay. And we get a sense of just how awful that period of time was as the writer remembers the sorrow and the torment that they'd endured. Before they then express their devotion to Jerusalem, and then finally this call for retribution on Edom and Babylon. The words are poetically beautiful, but at the same time express the ugliness of the raw emotion of hate. Israel had turned away from God, and so God had allowed the Babylonians to take over Jerusalem and capture the Israelites as a way of trying to call them back to him. The prophets had said this day would come, but also that this time of exile would come to an end. But the picture we have here is of a broken people who, despite the words of the prophets Jeremiah and Isaiah, appear to have no hope of ever returning home. This wasn't just a case of them feeling homesick. They were grief-stricken. They were bereft of hope. The commentator, Leslie C. Allen, puts it like this. As they sat in an attitude of mourning beside a tree-lined canal, they were haunted by memories of Zion. They were the bittersweet memories of festivals and fellowship with God and with believer, and the tortured memories of the ruins to which God's earthly home and the capital of his realm had been reduced. Their lyres, once used to accompany God's glad praises, rested up in the branches, idle, silent. Tauntingly, their enemies bid them sing one of the old songs of Zion. we get some sense of what they must have felt when we see the imagery and hear the voices of all those who've been displaced by the conflict between Israel and Gaza. I don't want to focus on the rights and wrongs of all that's taken place, but we can see the pain, grief, and the loss etched on the faces of all those caught up in that awful conflict. We see the same thing, sadly, all over the world. People who, through war or persecution, have been forced to leave behind all that they hold dear, with no hope of ever returning. And even if, as in the people of Gaza, they are able to return home, what is there left for them to come back to? What was once home is a desolate scene of destruction. Have you ever been forced to be somewhere you didn't want to be? If you have, then you will know, like me, how hard that is. There was a time when, through no fault of my own, I had to leave behind the life I had and go somewhere I would never have chosen to be. It was really hard, as there was no possibility of going back. I felt totally uncertain as to what the future might hold. And for quite some time, some of the memories of what I'd left behind would haunt me. And what also made it hard was that in some situations, I had to act as if nothing had happened. That was tough. It's not the same, I know, I wouldn't even begin to compare it. But I can identify with those feelings of loss, sadness, and torment that the opening verses of this psalm reveal. And the Babylonians, they wanted their captives to behave as if nothing had happened. Sing us some songs, they said. They wanted the people to entertain them with the songs they'd once sung. But how could they? That would have meant turning their backs on what mattered most, God and their homeland. Again, it's not the same, but like them, I couldn't have stayed where I was and just pretended everything was okay. If I had, I would have been living a lie. Now, the Israelites, they were used to being on the receiving end of injustice and hostility. It wasn't new to them. For years, there'd been animosity between them and the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. And that animosity was viciously demonstrated in the way that Edom not only encouraged the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem, but even took part in that destruction. It's this that leads the psalmist to end their song in such a horrible and ugly way. The writer calls on God to remember how the Edomites had treated them. No doubt recalling God's words to the prophets that he would judge Edom for what they'd done. And then finally, in the most vicious words of all, the writer imagines the joy someone might feel doing to the Babylonians what they had done to Israel by slaughtering their children. It is not a nice picture at all. The Psalms, they were essentially sacred songs, poems, and prayers. The writers would frequently give thanks to God for what he had done, but also ask for his protection or for him to act in some way on their behalf. Other times they might well lament as to why God seemed to be absent or silent. And as in the case of this psalm, they would put to words the situations and experiences they had been through. Their words could express all manner of emotions, good and bad, happy and sad. But even so, the hate that we find at the end of this psalm is probably not what we would expect in a prayer to God. It's easy, isn't it, to be open and honest with God in our praise. There's no problem with that. To do it in our joy, in our hopes. And we can even do it in times of hurt and suffering. On the whole, we don't have a problem bringing these things to God in prayer. But what about those darker emotions that we might sometimes feel? How easy is it to be honest and take feelings such as hate and a desire for revenge to God? I don't know if any of you have ever felt real hate towards someone. But if you have, you will know that it's a really damaging emotion. And I can say that because I've been there. The experience I described earlier left me with an intense feeling of hate towards a person. For months and months, it was really eating away at me. I had no outlet at it, of way of dealing with it at all. I had no way of, if I could find, to get rid of this feeling. But then came the breakthrough moment. My faith had suffered badly during the whole experience, but I was on my way back to God. And one day I took all this bitterness, all this hate, all this anger to Him in prayer. I was 100% honest with how I felt. I didn't pull any punches. I didn't try to dress it up or water it down. I just told God how I felt. I did as David said and cast my burden on the Lord. And there and then He took it away. It had still happened. That hadn't changed at all. The memories didn't leave me. And I still had other struggles with what had happened. But that emotion of hate was gone. And it has never returned. Jesus tells us, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a big ask. We might even be tempted at times to wonder if that is even possible. It certainly wasn't where the psalmist was as they remembered what had happened to them. Not only were they giving voice to their hatred for those who treated them so awfully, but also a desire for them to experience the same atrocities they had inflicted on them. We might think that's awful, but we need to understand what they'd been through. Parents in Israel had watched their children being dashed against the rocks. It's a horrible image. And although it doesn't make hate acceptable, it does make it understandable. Whatever we may think about the prayer itself, it was brutally honest. And it was grounded in their understanding of God. God had told the people, it's mine to avenge, I will repay. And that day had come when Persia had conquered Babylon and the people of Israel were set free. The happiness that the psalmist, in a sense, is expressing was the fact that a cruel international enemy had been defeated. But we're still left with the unescapable truth that they wanted this enemy to suffer. As I was reading this psalm and reflecting on what I might say today, I found myself wondering how the psalmist felt after they prayed this prayer. Did they feel better like I did when I told God how I was feeling? Did God take that emotion of hate away? Or did it remain along with the satisfaction that Babylon had been destroyed? I would like to think that perhaps it had changed for the psalmist. But of course, what they'd gone through was far worse than my experience. The words of the psalm begin with words of self-pity, end with those of hate, a hate that needs avenging. The emotions they express, they're not positive. But they're emotions that can only change if we're honest about the fact that they're there. If we do as Jesus says and pray for our enemies, we need to be honest and we need to name them. And only then is there any real hope of that hate being replaced by love. By nature, we're a given, aren't we, to hiding the negative stuff that is within us. We don't like to bring it out into the daylight. But that's not the way of prayer. We can hide from the world. We can hide from ourselves, in a sense. But we can't hide any of this from God. He knows it's there, even if we try to keep it quiet. If we name our enemies, whoever or whatever they might be, then we can be released from whatever hold those emotions have on our lives. Perhaps today is the day to ask ourselves, who are my enemies? And what negative emotions would I like healed? We might be surprised at the answers we get. Just like to pause for a moment and just let us think about that question. These enemies and the negative emotions that come with them could be all manner of things. It could be that we're nursing a grudge against someone who hurt us in the past. Maybe for some reason we feel animosity towards someone. Perhaps we've turned our back on someone because of something they did. Or it could be that there's someone we just feel resentful towards. None of us are immune from these sorts of feelings. It may not even be directed against any single person. It could be against a group of people, an organization, a situation, a policy, or an ideology, just to name a few. The point is that there are many things that can give rise to emotions such as anger, dislike, and bitterness. That's understandable. It's part of being human. But if left unchecked, they can turn to hate. 32 years in policing showed me vividly what hate can do. This psalm encourages us to be upfront with God, to take all the negative stuff to Him in prayer. It's not a question of waiting until we feel so bad, but dealing with it as soon as we recognize it's there. Speaking in the temple, Jesus quoted from Isaiah saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Those words speak of the Lord's ministry of preaching and healing that would meet every human need. If we're honest with God about how we feel, then he can release us from the hold that these emotions can have on our lives. Part of the reason our societies and indeed our world is so broken is because people allow these negative emotions to take hold, with the inevitable consequences that we see on the news each and every day. What Hamas did to the people of Israel was awful and inexcusable. But the outcome, I believe, could have been different if the leaders of Israel had chosen another path. If they had taken their understandable feelings of hatred and the desire for revenge to God in prayer, I believe he would have shown them that there was another way. God knows it would not have been easy. But the only thing that could truly bring about change was for them to love their enemies and pray for those who were persecuting them. That would have sent Hamas and indeed the world a very different message. As believers, we may not be in a position to influence what happens on the world stage, but we can in our own lives. We can take all this rotten stuff that we carry. We can give it to God in prayer. We can ask him to set us free from whatever hold they may have on us and help us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. If we do that, then God can use us as an example for others to follow. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to say thank you for the honesty of the psalmist in the words that are both poetic but also truly shocking. Don't know what place they ended up in as a result of their prayer, but they're words that call us to be just as honest. If we were to pretend that we can't have these feelings, then we're lying to ourselves. Lord, would you help us to first identify those things such as bitterness, anger, dare I say even hatred, that are within us. Would you help us to own them, but then to give them to you? Lord, you came to set the captives free. Would you set each and every one of us free from anything that is holding us in bondage? And Lord, would you use our individual examples of what it means to show love to our enemies, what it means to pray for those who persecute us? Would you hold us up as an example for others to follow?